Chapter 2. From the spring of 2007 until the end of that long summer when little B came to live with us, my son removed his Batman costume only at bath times. I ordered a twin costume that I substituted while he splashed in the suds, so that at least I could wash the boy sweat and the grass stains out of the thirst. It was a dirty green neat job fighting master criminals. If it wasn't Mr. Freeze with his dastardly ice ray, then it was the Penguin, Batman's deadly foe, or the even more sinister Puffin, whose absolute wickedness the original creators of the Batman franchise had inexplicably failed to chronicle. My son and I lived with the consequences. A house full of acolytes, henchmen and stooges, ogling us from behind the sofa, cackling darkly in the thin gap between the bookcase, and generally bursting out at us willy-nilly. It was one shock after another, in fact. At 4 years old, asleep and awake, my son lived at constant readiness. There was no question of separating him from the demonic bat mask, the lycra suit, the glossy yellow utility belt, and the jet-black cape. And there was no use addressing my son by his Christian name. He would only look behind him, cock his head and shrug, as if to say, "My bat senses can detect no boy of that name here, madam." The only name my son answered to that summer was Batman. Nor was there any point explaining to him that his father had died. My son didn't believe in the physical possibility of death. Death was something that could only occur if the evil schemes of the baddies were not constantly foiled, and that, of course, was unthinkable. That summer, the summer my husband died, we all had identities we were loath to let go of. My son had his Batman costume, I still used my husband's surname, and little B, though she was relatively safe with us, still clung to the name she had taken in a time of terror. We were exiles from reality that summer. We were refugees from ourselves. To flee from cruelty is the most natural thing in the world, of course, and the timing that brought us together that summer was so very cruel. Little B telephoned us on the morning they released her from the detention center. My husband picked up her call. I only found out much later that it was her. Andrew never told me. Apparently she let him know she was coming, but I don't suppose he felt up to seeing her face again. 5 days later he killed himself by hanging. They found my husband with his feet treading empty air, touching the soil of no country. Death, of course, is a refuge.